Please be seated. I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 148 this morning. Psalm 148. We're all familiar with stories of the king in disguise, kind of king incognito. It's a trope. Find it in television shows and literature. There's, Arthur in Camelot wandered in the woods sometimes, and King Richard in Robin Hood sneaked around without his crown. Aragorn, ducking around as Strider in Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. There are actually some. Real contemporary examples that I found the other day that apparently the king of the Netherlands, Willem Alexander, likes to sneak out and fly an airplane for the national airline occasionally. He was doing it before he was crowned, and he's continued to slip out. They were getting ready to retrain him on a new craft, apparently. Imagine you your pilot welcomes you and turns out to be your king. And, of course, not quite a king, but we all remember, Undercover Boss? The reason we enjoy those stories is as we read them or watch them, we're on the inside. We know who this is. We know, and we're kind of waiting for the others to, if you will, get their comeuppance. And it's like, wait till they find out what's happened. This morning, obviously, we look at that famous triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, and we're going to look at a psalm, and we're going to find out, we know who this really is. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, you've come, Lord Jesus, and now we ask you by your Spirit that you'd come upon us, that we would bring the praises due your name here in this room. And we ask it in your name. We ask it in the name of Christ the King. Amen. I'm going to read this. It's hard not to shout. I'll just warn the sound. Okay, if you turn me down, I won't be offended. I'll try to reel it in. This is God's Word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. And He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth. Young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for His people, praise for all His saints, for the people of Israel who are near to Him. Praise the Lord. Indeed, praise Him, His word for His people. So here's the outline, what the heavens know, what the earth knows, and then what we know, okay? So you may have wondered why not just preach Matthew 21 or something. If you may have heard it, as they gathered along with their palm branches. By the way, maybe next year we should have you come and bring your coats and lay them up here, you think? Be an outreach ministry. Leave it and we'll do something with it. But you say, why this psalm? But if you may have caught it there, praise Him in the heights as they gathered and brought their branches and cloaks and laid them on the road. They said, Hosanna in the highest. And most of the scholars say probably that comes right out of Psalms and Psalms like this. And Psalm 148 is likely to be the place. And that Hosanna word that was taken straight on in, that's one of those words that we don't translate. We just take it straight out of the Greek and stick it in the English and don't try to. And the fact of the matter is, they did it from Greek. They just took a Hebrew word and just rolled it on over. And originally, the word was a cry for help. It was come save us, kind of an SOS, if you will. Come save us. And it became more and more than he saved us. And by the time it was used along the road outside Jerusalem, it really just become kind of glory. It was just like, this is the God who saves. It's glory to God. And so in terms of the way the word was used, it's in a sense the meaning right here in Psalm 148. Praise him in the heights. The people along the road with their palm branches, they really didn't know who he was, did they? They say in the text we read earlier that, well, he's a prophet from Nazareth. That wasn't all that high a commendation given who he really was. But they came and they didn't know, couldn't really have known. But heaven knew him. Look at the psalm with me. The psalmist, in these first several verses, he just takes everything you could possibly kind of look up to, and he lumps it all together. Praise him, all his angels. First he takes the angels, then he takes astronomy, and then he takes the atmosphere, if you will. Now, he didn't have access to our science, our meteorology, but the psalmist knew, but he didn't think they were all in the same place, the angels and the stars and the clouds. He's a poet. He's a songwriter, if you will. And so he takes this motif of looking up and seeing things that are beyond us. He lumps them all together, and he says, starting with the angels, he says, they've always known. The angels have always known. All the way back in Luke chapter 2, when this God incarnate, God incarnate, we sang of him just a few moments ago. Remember when he first showed up and was about to show up, the glory to God in the highest. The angels sang the same psalm that we're reading. They've always known who he was, but they've always been amazed. The angels were just, it was the most perplexing thing, if we can do a little angel psychology here. The angels they were never astounded when he did miracles. They were astounded that he came in the first place. And Peter writes in one of his letters, he says, when he lays out the gospel and what this king has done when he came, they said, the angels are still trying to figure this out. He says, these are things in which angels long to look. They knew who he was, these angels. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Say this often here, but when you look at your Bibles, look at your Bibles, by the way. You'll see that the psalmist here, when he says Lord, you may get tired of hearing this, but all those capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, that's his name. That's not his title. That's not a title. That's a personal name. He let himself be known by a name. Hebrew, you've heard it before, is this Yahweh. But just know that this is not just, he's just not saying there's a God out there, and we're just going to capitalize his name just so you'll know that we think this is a God. Nor is he saying that this is no metaphor. he's not just saying there's some force out there that you'd like to have with you, and we've given it a name and personified it. This is no figure of speech. This is a king, and these angels, you see, they've been gathered around him from the moment they existed. The angels have gathered around him and praised him. We read that all through the scriptures, Isaiah 6 in particular. They got more wings covering them than wings holding them up, but they're gathered around and praising, and they're just waiting for the drop of a word to do what he asked them to do. They're just hovering around. Have you ever just hovered around somebody that you love? Just waiting, just waiting. Would they just ask me to do something? Somebody that loves you just would. It would be such a pleasure to serve that person. And that's what the angels are. They're just waiting. The raising of an eyebrow. They're going to scurry off and do what he wants them to do. And they're called here in the scripture not just angels, but they're these hosts. They're an army. These are militants, and they're ready. You know, it must have taken. It must have taken all the truth and trust that a holy soldier can muster for them to constrain themselves when they saw their king riding a donkey toward his death. Can you imagine? They've been praising him since they were creation and knowing who he is and who he would be. And as he rides a donkey to death, it was all they could do. And of course, they trusted him. And so they knew who he was and they stayed put. Well, the psalmist says, and the cosmos, everything out there, he says, the sun, the moon, everything, all the shining stars, they praise him. Now, they're not sentient. They're the stars and the moon. In some ways, this may have been a polemic, that is, an argument against the pagans around them that would say, you know, pray to suns and moons and stars and such. Check their astrology or something. He's saying that's nothing, but even their very existence, the fact that they are what they are, they shine, they're giving him praise. Praiseworthy things give glory to the one who created them. So the baker gets the praise for the cake. The author gets the praise for the book. The architect gets praise for the building. King Jesus gets praise for the sun and the moon and the stars. And it says even the clouds, if it rains, it praises him. Praise the Lord in the heavens, says the psalmist. The angels knew what was going on that road outside of Jerusalem, but they longed to know more, to understand more. What the earth knows. Verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist. This God in the flesh, as he rode down that road on the donkey, you understand, he had made the donkey. Made the donkeys. Our text, we had two of them. He'd made the dust on the road, and he'd created the wood for the cross that he was going to die on. And it all praised him. Kings of the earth and all peoples. Princes and all rulers. What the psalmist is doing, he's kind of blowing away all the boundaries. First, he's blown the roof off and said, everything in heaven. He says, as far as you can go up, all the way up to the angels themselves, that praises. Now he's come down here and he said, as high as you can go here, the kings. And as far as you can go here, all the peoples. There's nobody excluded. And by the way, typically in Hebrew, when you see the peoples, that's not a complimentary term. For us, it's kind of a neutral term. But for the Hebrew mind, there was the nation of Israel, and then there were the everybody else. But what he says here is everybody else, including their kings, they're going to praise him. I did an internship in a church where one of the staff members, wag that he was, said that the philosophy of ministry of that church was to reach the up and out. You know, many of us have been called to ministries to reach the down and out. He said, well, our philosophy is reach the up and out. Well, there's no such thing as up and out. There's no such thing as down and out. There's no such thing as too far off. We say it at the font. The promise is to you and your children and those who are far off. See, this is nothing new to the New Testament. It's always been this king for those who are far off, those who are far out. I don't know whether it starts on Palm Sunday or not, but often around this time of year, I remember the first Easter season when I actually really knew the Lord, when He broke in and called me into Himself, and I found myself, I remember the last couple before I had known Him. You know, I'd kind of wander into a church. And this time of the year, we kind of do that. If you know somebody who's far off, who thinks they're too far off, that they think that they've gone beyond where this king reigns, can't do it. If you know somebody that doesn't seem to have any needs, you know, and you think, well, I don't know what to tell them about. They're great. They're happier than I am. You can't get too high up. You can't get up and out. Nobody's boxed out. There's nobody that can't be gotten to. And nobody is underage, he says. Young men and maidens together, old men and children. It doesn't matter whether you're in the prime of life or you're in the decline of life. And by the way, as well, if the kings of the earth were the most powerful, the old men and the children were the weakest. What would a king want with them? But he says all of them will praise the Lord. The earth knows it. The heavens know it. The earth knows it. Now we know it. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. There are two things that this God who's come to us in Christ, there are two things that He, how shall we say it? They're at the top of His list. They're two non-negotiables with this God. Two things that He won't do without. One of them is His name. That is to say, He won't not have a name. His name bespeaks all that He is. His holiness, His manner, His mercies, His whole nature. To give Him a name is to say what He's like. When Jesus said to Peter, "You're a rock," He was saying what He's like. When God told Moses, remember Moses said, "How am I going to say who sent me?" He said, "Tell him I am." And what He was saying is the God who is with you. So the name means something. And when He says He will have a name, He's saying my name matters. My name carries with it something. But it's not just that. God's name isn't just so it can be true who He is. He gives Himself a name so it can be known. His name is His display. It's His, how shall we say it? When God gives His name, He's given you the way into His life. Have you been hacked? Been had to change all your passwords? I take care of that by not remembering any of my passwords. So every time I go on any site, I have to say, "Forgot my password." You know, it's handy. They say change it all the time anyway, so I do change it all the time. What God has done by giving us His name, He's giving us His He's given us the password. You got His name and His password. What He's done is He has been intentionally, well, He's hacked Himself. What He's done, well, you haven't stolen His identity. He's given it to you. That's what He's done here. When He says that He will have a name for Himself, let them praise the name of the Lord, He's saying, here, have this, use this, you're mine and I'm yours. In fact, all that I am, all of my holiness, it's there. It goes out in love and down in grace. That's who I am, and I'm yours. He'll have a name. That's one non-negotiable. He's going to have a name. His other non-negotiable is He's going to have a people. Look at the very last verse here. He's raised up a horn for His people. By the way, that's not a toot-toot horn. Though we could use a couple. That horn is a rhinoceros horn or something. When the Old Testament says He's raised up a horn, it says He's given them strength. He's given to His people a standing. Psalm 18 again. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation. Don't mess with it. Don't get on the horned end of this people, because He's given His people a horn. That's why when Zechariah was told that he was going to have a son who was going to tell about God's son who's coming, that he used the same expression. He said He's raised up a horn for His people. But not only has he taken that horn, takes away. You see, when you've got a horn, you're not going to be bullied. Not ultimately. Ultimately, you're not going to be shamed. Ultimately, this people, listen, this was this people. Remember, go back to the road in Jerusalem. This is a people who had been under the thumb generation after generation. Their history was having been under the thumb. They're in Jerusalem now, but they're under the thumb of Rome. The real thumb they were under is the one that you and I are under. Is the thumb of that sin and death that lingers and looms. That was the real thumb. And this king who heaven knows and the earth knows is the one who said, ultimately, no thumb, a horn for His people. Along with strength, look what He's given them. He says, for the people of Israel who are near to Him. All this glory that He has garnered up for Himself in His creation, in His ruling over history, all of that glory that He's garnered up, what He says is, I've given you the password, I've given you my name, I've given you my identity, and what He's doing, He's bringing you up under all that glory. It's really astounding. You see, that's why the angels aren't getting this, by the way. They're going to give glory to God, and they're going to keep on giving, and angels help us to adore Him. You behold Him face to face. Sun and moon bow down before Him, dwellers all in time and space. But you're the ones who get His identity. You're the ones that He says, and I'll read this. He says, I'm reading from Ephesians. He says, He has raised us. I'm going to change it to the second person. He has, if you know Him, if you've got the password, that is, the password, we've gone through that early in the service. You're sin sick. You need the physician. You need the Savior. You need a real king who'll really do this thing. And then He's raised you up with Him and seated you with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward you in Christ Jesus. That's who it was. Heaven knows it. The earth has hints of it. And one day it will be crystal clear. And when all the saints of all the ages have gathered up, they will say, "Worthy are you, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your word they were created. And you were slain, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them a kingdom of priests." Let's pray. So that's who we are. That's who you were, King Jesus, on your way into Jerusalem. That's who you were when we nailed you to the cross. That's who you were when you were laid in the tomb. And it's who you were when you rose, and it's who you were and are as you reign and when you return. And we thank you and join all the rest of everything that has ever been and give you praise. And we thank you. And so we come in your own name, the name above every name, in the name of Christ. Amen. If the elders will join Pastor Dave at this table.